Liberals, the liberal media, liberal and corrupt politicians, misled and deceived citizens, etc., want the American public to think that inclusion of every form of deadly, perverted, destructive behavior is the form of unity that strengthens the foundation of nations and is what the Bible is referencing when it says, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." They are now aggressively promoting this false narrative as the kind of mindset that needs to be embraced and is what will eventually bring the nation together. But is embracing corrupting and destructive behavior that has led to the collapse and fall of every nation and empire that engaged in it previously, and it's something God powerfully condemns, the type of unity God, Christ, and the Bible had in mind? Well, the truth of the matter is the Bible offers a completely different take on the type of unity that God commands and that truly leads to a prosperous, blessed, and unified society. And it's not a unity with a radical agenda that promotes destructive, corrupting, sexually perverse behavior of all forms, which will most certainly lead to further division and to the eventual fall and collapse of the nation. That includes the promotion of and legalization of every form of twisted sexual behavior like homosexuality, bisexuality, lesbianism, pedophilia, transgenderism, and I'm sure many more twisted forms of sexual behavior that are coming that have yet to be introduced to the American public. The legalization of homosexual and lesbian marriage being the catalyst that's produced and is producing every other form of twisted sexual behavior being birthed right before our eyes. Not to mention the widespread promotion of sorcery and black magic, as well as mass murder in the form of abortion and in the urban neighborhoods and communities, in addition to pockets of racism scattered throughout the nation. The truth of the matter is, unifying with these forms of twisted evil and ungodliness will lead and is leading to your fall as a once great nation. The truth of the matter is, the only way to prevent your fall as a nation is to unify under a banner of Bible-based righteousness and to totally reject any form of evil, twisted behavior that is contrary to the form of Bible-based righteousness that will ensure you continue as a great and respected nation. Embracing destructive, corrupting behavior as a form of futile, vain, and biblically condemned unity will not result in your prospering and growth as a nation, but in reality, quite the opposite. From the establishment of Israel as a nation to the present, God has been calling for the righteous and decent to be separate from the wicked, perverted, and ungodly as a way to ensure their own survival. Let's examine God's word to discover the kind of unity that truly leads to national prosperity, strength, and growth. Let's begin by going to Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 3. That's Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 3. As it states here, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from among his people, because he has given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name." In other words, God is saying, if there's individuals among you, strangers or Israelites themselves, who engage in the practice of giving their seed unto Molech or sacrificing their young to Molech, God is emphasizing that they should be put to death in stone. He goes on to say, "And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Molech and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off, and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people." In other words, God is saying, if you don't execute these judgments, God says, when these individuals sacrificed their children unto Molech, basically what they were doing was burning their children alive as sacrifices to these idols. They had regressed to a level of debased behavior that actually resulted in them burning their own children alive as sacrifices to these idols. And, you know, in reality, Molech was a representation of Satan. Whether people choose to believe it or not, they're actually engaged in present day in a form of sacrifice, a spiritual sacrifice of their sons and daughters to the homosexual lifestyle, the lesbian lifestyle, bisexual lifestyle, transgender lifestyle, and, you know, they're presently working to legalize pedophilia. And they're essentially, it's just a, it's a form of sacrifice, but it's a different form of sacrifice. And the end times, it is now a sacrifice, a spiritual sacrifice, when they encourage their children to participate in these behaviors. You know, there was just recently some rapper who just came out with a video, and he also had some sneakers that he sold. His name is X, you know, something along those lines, last name X, you know, I'm pretty certain about that. But he made a video where he was engaging in simulated acts of sex with Lucifer, Satan himself. And so this is the type of information that they're, you know, promoting to children. Now, this is, from my understanding, this rapper has a large following. Kids follow this guy because the ignorant parents are basically encouraging their children to follow these types of individuals, these sexual deviants. And now, you know, these particular individuals who engage in these perverse behaviors have large followings, and a number of those followings and you know, are, you know, children themselves listening to the music, you know, following these individuals, supporting them. But he, you know, produced a video, again, simulating himself having sex with Satan. He also created some sneakers called 666 sneakers. And he also put human blood in the sneakers. And they said that I think he created 666 pairs to represent the mark of the beast. And they said all the shoes had sold out within, you know, within a couple of hours or a day or something along those lines. So he basically made $666,000, you know, within a few hours. And, you know, because his fans, which are comprised of children in many respects, you know, bought up the shoes. But this is the type of imagery and what they're promoting to children, and the ignorant parents, you know, are okay with it. And the fact that they allow their children to be influenced by these types of, you know, these sexual deviants with these negative influences, you know, promoting, you know, abominable rebellion against God, and that they promote this perverse sexual behavior, Satan worship, you know, this is what they're engaged in. And the children who, you know, follow them, you know, are, you know, obviously are view them as idols in some respects, and, you know, they will emulate that behavior. So this is the generations that they're creating, you know, with the promotion of this perversion. And as these perverse individuals and groups, you know, have, you know, a number of people rallying around them, and that's going to create a future generation that's going to be worse than the generation you have now. So, in essence, what these parents are doing, unbeknownst to themselves, is actually sacrificing their sons and daughters to Satan by encouraging them to, you know, support these individuals and support the homosexual lifestyle. And, you know, that has a lot to do with false ministers and the teachings that they teach, you know, which, you know, that they promote acceptance of these perversions, something that is not at all covered in God's word. God emphasizes throughout his word to reject this behavior and to condemn it. But these false ministers teach that it's okay to accept it, to promote it, to embrace it, and they call that love. But that's not consistent with God's word at all. So they're a major part of the problem. And as I covered in a previous audio, you know, God has an end for them, and he promises that he's going to destroy them in this coming punishment. And also when he resurrects them to judge them, you know, because they're responsible for leading millions of people, in essence, to the lake of fire, because they're actually creating haters of God. And, you know, God emphasizes in Deuteronomy and many other verses throughout Scripture. In Deuteronomy 7:10, for instance, God says, "And he will not be slack to him that hates him, He will repay him to, or he, it basically begins with, and repayeth them that hate him to their faces to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face. Emphasis on those that hate God. And as I've covered in previous audios, the hater of God, the wicked, and the ungodly all can be used interchangeably. You know, those are just the same or different words talking about the same individual. And God promises to destroy the wicked, the ungodly, and the haters of God when he judges them. So they're basically creating haters of God, individuals that are going to be, in many instances, growing up to, you know, living perverse lifestyles, promoting, you know, sickening and perverse sexual behavior. And, you know, while they emulate all these perverse individuals who practice it and promote it. And they don't understand that, you know, they're actually engaged in a form of spiritual sacrifice of their own sons and daughters. And it's just quite pathetic, to be honest with you. But let's continue. It goes on to say, then I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off. The term cut off means to destroy. And all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits. In other words, God is saying he's going to cut off the individuals who look for those who have familiar spirits. Or he's speaking about necromancers and witches and sorcerers in this particular case. And after wizards, that's just another term for a witch. And to go a whoring after them. I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. These are all considered abominations by Almighty God. Sanctify yourself, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you, or which sets you apart. So in these particular verses, God is emphasizing that if you engage in these practices of sacrificing, if Israel had engaged in those practices of sacrificing their sons and daughters to Molech, you know, the punishment for that behavior was death. And he actually, you know, they actually eventually begin to follow the sick practices of those nations that surrounded them, and God eventually destroyed them. You know, so he just followed through what he promised to do. But let's continue. And as we proceed through this audio, you'll see that the proclamation that God has been emphasizing from day one with the establishing of Israel as a nation is to be separate from any individuals engaging in perverse, abominable behavior. So we won't be destroyed ourselves, because the destruction is coming upon those who engage in these behaviors. So God says, be separate from them. Don't embrace them. Don't support them. Don't promote them. You know, promote what they, you know, what they practice. Because, in essence, you know, for you to promote it verbally or any other way, God views it as you're engaging in the behavior yourself. And the fact that you promote it only strengthens the hands of the evildoers, is what the Bible calls it in his word. God says you strengthen the hand of the evildoers when you support these types of behaviors. That's why judging is so important. And that's why God loves judging, because judging is meant to expose the evil. It's not to be done in the context of, you know, say, for instance, a person did wrong. He admitted that he did wrong, he or she, they did wrong, and they admit that. And, you know, you're to throw that in their face every chance you get. And that's not, you know, what it means. But in relation to, say, for instance, the homosexual community and how they promote their lifestyle as wholesome and beneficial, these individuals are not necessarily not saying that what they're doing is wrong. They're actually saying that what they're doing is right and acceptable. You know, you have other behaviors, offensive behaviors and sins, you know, that are condemned. You know, you don't find thieves saying that they're, you know, that is right, or murderers, you know, saying that what they do is right. You know, and those behaviors are actually punishable by prison sentences. So if you engage in stealing, you know, you go to prison. If you engage in murder, you go to prison. But homosexuality, something that God views as more abominable than both murder and stealing, and most certainly stealing, you know, because the Bible emphasizes in, I think it's Proverbs, if I'm not mistaken, or Proverbs or Psalms, it says that if a man steal to satisfy his soul, don't despise the man, just have him repay sevenfold what he stole. But in relation to homosexuality, in Leviticus 18:22, in Leviticus 20:13, God condemns it and says that it's punishable by death. It's also condemned in Romans chapter 1, verse 26-32, And in verse 32, it says that knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, I'm not encouraging anybody to go out here and doing, you know, harm homosexuals and bisexuals and lesbians. That's not what I'm saying. But God has decreed a time and a day when he's going to punish it. Anciently, it was, you know, anybody engaged in it was to be stoned to death. Now, why does God hate it so much? Because the corrupting element, or how profoundly it corrupts the spirit. I've seen no other sin that I know of that I've seen corrupts the spirit like this perversion does, because I've seen individuals who are immersed in it. I just sick, twisted individuals who are just completely consumed by their perverted lust. It's like they can't get over it. I mean, they think perverted sex day in and day out, you know. You know, they, you know, you can do a kind act of, you know, like let a guy, you know, cut in front of you in a grocery store, and they'll think that you're coming on to them, you know, just because you're being nice. This is how that perversion twists and warps your judgment, you know, because you're so consumed by perverted lust. You love it so much yourself that you think others feel about it the way that you feel about it, you know. But any rational individual is absolutely disgusted by it. And justifiably and right, you know, rightfully so. But, you know, so they engage in these practices and promote the behavior. And, you know, they you know, go all out and working to justify it. But it's just considered abominable in God's eyes. And we're just commanded to separate ourselves from it, have nothing to do with this, these types of perversions. You know, but the society as it presently stands is trying to encourage the society as a whole to embrace it. You know, but that is Satan's plan. That's not God's plan. God commands us to be separate from these individuals and have nothing to do with them. If they don't, you know, choose to admit that they're wrong and depart from the evil, you can't have anything to do with them because you will eventually be drawn into the lifestyle yourself. And excuse me, and make no mistake about it, they can do it. I know of people who didn't start out that way initially, but they start mingling with these individuals, men and women, and they were eventually drawn into the lifestyle. You know, they're adept at drawing others into the lifestyle, and they use a number of deceptive and scheming diabolical tactics to do it. You know, by using false information, false science, to try to justify the behavior, you know, but there's no justification for it. It's just filthy in every way. And if we as righteous individuals and even decent individuals, we have to separate ourselves from it, because if you don't, the Bible emphasizes that you're going to be destroyed with them. And as we proceed, that will become clear to you that what God is calling for is a unity under a righteous banner, and it has nothing to do with race. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, God's race is completely insignificant to God. Race does not matter at all. And the reason God separated, commanded that Israel be separate from all those surrounding tribes is because the things that those surrounding tribes were engaged in. Child sacrifice, sacrificing their own sons and daughters to demons that they call gods. Bestiality, homosexuality, you know, some of the most abominable and filthy behaviors that just, you know, sickened God. And so God used Israel in many respects to punish those particular nations, really to destroy them completely, and to informed Israel never to follow those sick practices, the things that, you know, those surrounding nations were doing. And if they did, they will suffer the same fate. And unfortunately, they did. They started doing what the other sick nations were doing, and God eventually had to destroy them. But let's continue to Deuteronomy 12:30-32. As it states here, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them. Once again, God is emphasizing, don't follow them. After that, they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination. That's, you know, God speaking about the abominations once again. These are the things that offend him. And these are considered abominations: homosexuality, bisexuality, lesbianism, pedophilia, transgenderism, all abominations. Even to, you know, the Bible even goes for as far as emphasizing in Deuteronomy, if a man dressed like a woman, that's considered an abomination. And now they're promoting transgenderism and saying that these men are actually women. Now, these are men that have, you know, fully developed testicles, you know, deep voices, hair on the chest, thick necks and Adam's apples jutting out, you know, broad shoulders. And because they put on a wig and some makeup, now they're a woman. What type of sick, twisted mess is that? This is where we're heading. And, you know, and being and the fact that, you know, we're being led by a government that supports this twisted behavior is all the more offensive to God, you know. And like God emphasizes, if you follow that way of behaving, you know, you're going to be destroyed with them, because God promises in his word to destroy them. As we proceed, that will become clear to you. But the commandment that God is, and the proclamation that God is ushering in this end time, that he's proclaiming in this end time, is to be separate from these types of individuals, lest you be consumed by them, or consumed with them, I should say. Now let's continue. And it goes on to say, thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. You know, I just covered that earlier. They were burning their own children alive to these gods, these demons that they call gods. That's what they were engaging in. It had been, you know, reduced to this level of evil. You know, this is what these perversions and you know, embracing these perversions, this is what happens. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, because these individuals live by no moral code. You know, in fact, they tell you that anything goes. You know, they want us to believe that there's no such thing as evil and good. They want us to believe that there's no such thing as wrong and right. You know, and when you begin to remove those, gauges and the things that define what evil and good are and what wrong and right are, you know, it's all hell breaks loose. And this is, you know, where they're trying to get us. So, you know, I'm convinced that in many respects, a number of them are Satan worshipers. I really believe that, you know, because one of the, I think, Luciferian teachings is that Satan is more powerful in an environment of complete chaos and anarchy. And there is some truth to that, you know. You know, he would be strongest when all this abominable evil is taking place. And it appears this government, individuals in that government, this particular government, are trying to get us to that point, you know, in an atmosphere, an environment of complete chaos and anarchy. You know, this appears to be their goal, you know. And I really believe that a number of them are Luciferians and are involved in Satan worship. You know, but it's going to just end terribly for them on a physical and spiritual level. It's sad and pathetic, to be frank about it. But it goes on to say, what things soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. All right, now let's continue to Numbers chapter 16, verse 26 to 34. That's Numbers chapter 16, verses 26 through 34, as it states, And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. Now, if these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. In other words, Moses is saying, if they die regular deaths like, you know, most other Israelites, you know, then you know God hath not sent them. But he goes on to say, but if the Lord make a new thing, and earth open to her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And so basically what he's saying now, if the earth opens up and swallows them up, and everything that, you know, all them and all theirs, their family members and everything else, he says, then you will know that they have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertain unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertain unto them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. So they were, you know, those who were promoting rebellion against God within the camp were swallowed up by the earth. You know, the earth just split. They fell into it, and then it closed upon them. Now, that's something else, you know. But, you know, that, again, you see what God is emphasizing here, separation from those that promote rebellion against him. You know, it's something that was emphasized anciently, and it's something that still applies today. And as we proceed, that will become clear to you. Let's continue. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 22 through 24. That's 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 22 through 24. As it states here, and Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. In other words, they did even worse than their fathers. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. So what's being emphasized here is that, you know, in this particular verse, the Sodomites was a type of male prostitute who engaged in some homosexual acts with other men. And, you know, they were cast out because of those abominations. God refers to this behavior as abominations. He referred to it as abominations back then, and he still considers it an abomination today. And he said they were cast out before the children of Israel. And it goes on to say, okay, they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. So these individuals at that time were engaging in the same practices that they're doing now, you know, and God condemned those practices and cast those individuals out from among the children of Israel. So, you know, that his attitude is still the same in regards to these perversions. He wants us to be separate from this type of behavior, not to embrace it, not to support it, not to promote it. And as we proceed, you'll see that the proclamation, the commandment, the requirement is separation, not unity with evil. You don't unify with evil, because what happens in cases like that, it just results in an expedited fall of the nation. You know, that's happened with every, previous empire, you know, great kingdoms and empires like the Roman Empire, you know, the Greco-Macedonian Empire, the Babylonian Empire and the Persian Empire. All these particular nations were corrupted from within. The moral foundation had been completely chipped away at, and ultimately that led to nations eventually conquering those weakened nations, because they were so debased and perverted morally. You know, they were easy prey for other nations to come in and conquer. You know, they were consumed with all types of sick, twisted lusts that there many of them were enslaved by. And, you know, this is where we're headed in the United States, with the promotion of these sexual perversions and other abominations, not just homosexuality, but you have, you know, mass murder in the form of abortion and in the urban neighborhoods and communities, this widespread promotion of black magic and sorcery. You know, pockets of racism that are scattered throughout the nation. And, you know, these are the things that God refers to as abominations. and that he promises to destroy the nation if they don't depart from these abominations. Now let's continue to Ezra chapter 9, verse 1. This is Ezra chapter 9, verse 1. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated. Again, emphasis on separation. Don't mingle with them. Don't have anything to do with them because they're engaged in these perverse practices. Don't support these individuals. You have people in this nation that's happily embracing these individuals, saying that, they'll make ridiculous statements like, what is wrong with it? What about the fact that it's resulted in tens of millions of people dying from HIV/AIDS? What about the fact that it warps the spirit and twists the spirit so much that it completely twists the mind of the individual? They become completely separated from reality. And what about the fact that it's given birth to all types of other twisted perversions? And you say, what is wrong with it? I mean, how much more, destruction and just twisted behavior, and evidence that you need, or do you need? It's killed tens of millions of people worldwide as a result of HIV/AIDS. It warps the spirit, and in so doing, it twists the mind of the individual. It has given birth to all types of other twisted behaviors, the legalization of homosexual and lesbian marriage. You have now transgenderism, cisgenders, all types of confusing lifestyles and warped, twisted lifestyles that, Satan is the author of, because the Bible says Satan is the author of confusion. And he's promoting these behaviors with the sole objective to destroy these people spiritually. See, what they don't understand, and you can tell them this and prove it with God's word, they won't believe it. But what Satan is doing, he knows that he has a short time. He knows that his time is up. And he's essentially trying to take as many people with him as he possibly can. And the promotion of homosexuality, lesbian, transgenderism, bisexuality, pedophilia, all these are ways that he's doing that. What Satan does understand is that the quickest way and the most powerful way to enslave an individual is through lust. Lust and greed. Those are two of the most corrupting and shackling sins. But lust is probably the most powerful sin. And this is what Satan understands. If he can get you shackled with lust, it's hard to shake, And this is the case with a number of these individuals. They are completely enslaved and shackled by their lust, their perverse sexual behavior and desires. They live for it, They eat, sleep, and think perverse sexual behavior, working to satisfy their consuming, overwhelming desire for perverse sexual gratification. This is what motivates them. It governs their thoughts. It governs their decision making. It governs, practically every facet of their lives. And this is what people don't understand. And when Satan gets you involved in that, he knows that it's difficult for you to come out, and he knows that he has you, and he'll use that perversion, that lust that you're shackled by, to cause you to sin in other abominable, twisted ways, all which ultimately result in you being judged harshly and eventually condemned to the lake of fire. This is fully supported by God's word. You'll eventually become a hater of God, and these are the individuals that God promises to destroy, the haters of God, the wicked, and the ungodly. That's a different class of individual. Understand that. And this is what Satan is creating in these end times. Haters of God. Now, let's continue. Let's start over again as Ezra chapter 9, verse 1. Now, when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands or those surrounding nations, doing according to their abominations or according to the abominations of these surrounding tribes, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. So they were doing in accordance with the abominations that these surrounding nations were engaged in. So Israel, were engaged in those practices as well. And they were not separating themselves from the people. So again, this has been the theme. This has been the proclamation that God has been emphasizing from the establishing of Israel as a nation. Be separate from these wicked individuals. Don't partner with them. Because if you partner with them, you will eventually be corrupted by their practices, and you'll begin to do the things that they do. And it is so true. The Bible is true when it says, be not deceived, bad company corrupts good character. And also says, be not deceived, evil communication corrupts good character. So if you're around an individual that's always speaking in a way that is corrupting, has a corrupting element about it, that can eventually corrupt you as well. That's why God, again, commands us to be separate from these individuals, have nothing to do with them. You know, if they choose to live their lives like that, let them go ahead, you know. But there's going to be a consequence for it. We cannot support them. We can't embrace it. We can't promote the behavior. And when asked about it, we have to call it what it is: wicked, perverse, and ungodly. That's what it is. It will never be anything other than that, no matter how they try to candy coat it and how they try to normalize the behavior, you know. It is what it is, you know, and God will always view it as that way. So the fact that you work, you know, they're working aggressively to get everybody on board and to change the perception people have of it, that doesn't mean anything. All you're doing is just angering God even more. You're expediting your destruction. The fact that you all embrace it is just upsetting God even more. It's pissing him off even more. To, you know, put that in layman terms for you, it's pissing him off even more. The fact that you're supporting it. You know, people say, well, there's nothing wrong with it. Everything is wrong with it. It's filthy and destructive in every way. And that's the truth. Now, let's continue. As it states here in Proverbs 16:28, a forward man or a perverse man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth his chief friends. In other words, it says that a perverse man, stirs up trouble. And that is so true with the homosexual community. You know, they are engaged in some of the most twisted and evil, diabolical forms of bullying. You know, they're the authors in many respects of this cancel culture. They're behind this cancel culture where if you say anything, if you disagree with the lifestyle, you know, they'll try to cancel you. You know, and that's really a form of attempted murder, because if you try to stop a person from eating and living, you know, you're essentially trying to murder that person, because if you stop him from earning a living, he can't eat. And if he can't eat, he dies. So that is, in every sense of the word, that is a form of attempted murder. And so they engage in these practices of completely destroying the lives of individuals because you want to go along with their twisted, ungodly behavior. But God says a terrible punishment is coming for up on their heads, physically and spiritually, when they face God in the judgment, and this coming destruction upon them, this coming will be coming in accordance with God's timetable. And I've heard people say, well, listen here, why is it not happening yet? Well, it's been happening if you've been paying attention. But the type of level of destruction that God is going to bring upon the nation hasn't quite happened yet. And the only reason it hasn't happened yet is because of two reasons. One is because 1,000 years are like a day to God, because God lives forever. God is not watching his watch on, but I need to get this done because time is running out, because God lives forever. So he operates on a different timetable. And two, because God says he's not slack concerning men. He's not slack concerning his promises, as some men are who count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, hoping that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So those are the two primary reasons why God hasn't acted on his promises, because he's being patient, hoping that these fools will turn from their wickedness so they won't be destroyed. But it seems like they're just marching head first into destruction. No matter how much information you give them, God voicing his displeasure at these behaviors, they'll thumb their nose in God's face and promote these gay pride events and promote the behavior and saying that it's good and beneficial and wholesome, promoting putting children in these sexually perverse environments with individuals who are just twisted spiritually and mentally. These are sick individuals. You know, they're not well. You know, they're sick individuals and they need help. You don't need to be putting children in the homes of these sick individuals to be preyed on, because they will prey on them. And, you know, that's why they're trying to legalize pedophilia right now. So, you know, they've already established gay adoption. And, that, you know, once they legalize pedophilia, and they will, if you continue to, you know, support these perversions, they will eventually have pedophilia legalized. Then they'll have those children in their homes and they can do whatever they want to do to them, because as law says now, it's okay to engage in pedophile acts. So they can rape children without any consequence. And this is what they want. This is what they're working towards. Make no mistake about it. But these ignorant fools just cannot see. They have complete blinders on because they think they're wiser than Almighty God. That's why the Bible tells us, you know, warn to the man who was wise in his own eyes and prudent in his own sight. You know, these individuals who think they know more than God. But the Bible tells us that in Isaiah chapter 5. Warn to that individual, the man who is wise in his own eyes and is prudent in his own sight. This individual that thinks that he knows more than Almighty God. God is going to deal with that individual terribly because that mindset produces nothing but abominable evil. You have limitations, all right? You don't have the spiritual insight and see things that like God sees. He sees much deeper than man. He understands how corrupting and perverse his behavior is because he sees on a spiritual level. And this is the corrupting element. It's on a spiritual level. You can't detect it by getting a checkup. You can't detect it by, observation. It has to be discerned spiritually. And this is what God, this is why God condemns it so powerfully, because it sees it for what it is. He knows how much it powerfully it corrupts the spirit of the individual, eventually creating a morally bankrupt, decrepit, debased individual who is averse to all forms of abominable evil. This is what it does. And let's continue again. 1 Corinthians 15:33. As it states here, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. So what's being emphasized is, you know, be careful about who you communicate with, because that can corrupt good manners as well. And also states in God's word, be not deceived. Bad company corrupts good manners. Again, God instructing us to be separate from this type of behavior, because if not, it can corrupt you. You know, this has been emphasized throughout God's word. You partner with this behavior, you begin to associate with these individuals, you will be corrupted by it, and you will begin to practice those behaviors yourself. Make no mistake about it, and you will be destroyed with them. The type of unity God is calling for is under a righteous banner. White, black, Latino, Asian, all under a righteous banner. Rejecting these perversions, rejecting these corrupting, abominable practices. Because if you don't, you're going to be destroyed with these individuals, because you will eventually begin to practice it yourself, being shackled by these perversions yourself. I don't think it can happen. It's happening every day. Let's continue to 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. As it states here, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. There wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. But what God tells us, if you want to be his sons and daughters, you have to come out from among them. You have to be separate from them. Don't support them. Don't embrace them. Don't do business with them. None of that. You know, and that's a proclamation to all races, to the black community, to the white community, to the Latino community, to the Asian community. Don't be partnering with these individuals in any way, shape, or form. See, because when you go into business with them, you give them, a form of leverage. You know, if you, especially when you have them investing in your business, you're using their money, allowing them to, you know, taking their money to open businesses and things of that nature. You know, then they have leverage over you. They say, well, listen here, you know, if you're going to have this money, you know, then you have to promote homosexuality. You have to promote and support the fact this is being taught in schools to children. And you do that to your physical and spiritual destruction. Make no mistake about that. The Bible tells us in Isaiah, warn to that individual that calls evil good and good evil, that puts darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, it goes on to, in later verses, to to emphasize what God is going to do in terms of the punishment for individuals who engage in that behavior. You can find that in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 through 25. It also tells us in Proverbs 17:15 that either 17:15 or 15:17 that he that justifies the wicked for reward, and them that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination unto God. And these individuals certainly are justifying this wickedness and this wicked group and organization for reward. A number of them have just sold out for money. You know, but you do that to your physical and spiritual destruction, God's word says. And then on top of that, they condemn the righteous. They justify the wicked and say that the wicked are good. And they lie and slander the righteous and say that the righteous are evil. That is absolutely abominable and offensive to God. You know, that's what God says. He's holding it in. We've covered that in the previous audio. The last audio, God said he's weary with holding it in. That's what he's doing. He's holding back, you know. It's just like an individual who's consistently picking at you. You know, maybe like a bully. And the homosexual community are some of the biggest bullies on planet Earth. Make no mistake about that. But they put up these fronts like they're so persecuted as a complete farce. And in many cases, when they're harmed or somebody hurts them, it's because of some evil, diabolical act that they've done. Maybe trying to aggressively coming on to an individual who has rejected their advances. Lying or slandering an individual, you know, because they rejected their advances. And so when they end up, you know, getting killed or beaten to a pulp, you know, then they you know, play the victim role. I mean, in many respects, they've initiated, you know, that form of retribution because of some of their own evil acts. Make no mistake about it. You know, if you're completely naive and ignorant, if you think that this stuff is happening to these individuals, the fact that they're getting attacked in certain instances, not necessarily every instance, but there are a number of instances where they've been the instigators. Make no mistake about it. You're completely ignorant and clueless if you don't think that is happening. But you see that the theme, God is emphasizing, be separate from these individuals. We can't associate with them, not in business or any other level, because you're going to bring a destruction upon yourselves when you support these individuals. You don't need to be partnering with them in business because you give them leverage over you. You know, no sexual deviant should have leverage over you, you know, giving you dictates about what you should be doing in terms of promoting this behavior. It's absolutely foolish. And only a fool would partner with an individual that's twisted like that. You know, I don't care how much money they're offering. I would never take that money and partner with them. I'd be a broke, poor broke, living in a hollow log before I, compromise and partner with individuals like that, you know, only to put myself in a position where they have leverage over me. It's not going to happen. Now, let's continue. Let's go to Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 5 through 13. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5 through 13. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them now, for ye were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are ye light in the world, in the Lord, I should say. Walk as children of the light. So, once again, God is informing us that, you know, not to be partakers of them, and there's six practices, you know, because, you know, the wrath of God is about to come upon them, the children of disobedience. So, you know, if these individuals, you know, whoremongers, unclean persons, or covetous individuals, idolaters, those individuals who worship money above everything else, greed, you know, motivated by greed, you know, engaged in perverse, you know, sexual behaviors and things of that nature. You know, we're instructed not to be partakers with them because of what they're engaging in. The wrath of God is coming upon them. And you don't want the wrath of God coming upon you. So don't be a partner with them in any way, not in business or any other way. Be separate from them. But it goes on to say, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. We're in verse 9 now. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's once again, God is telling us to have no fellowship with them. Don't associate with them. Don't do business with them. Don't support them. You know, these are perverse individuals. This is not about race or nationality. Homosexuality is not a race or a nationality. All right, and it's okay to partner with different races and different nationalities. God encourages that, as long as they're not engaged in these behaviors, of course. But homosexuality is not a race or a nationality. It's a filthy, corrupt, and sexual perversion. And you'll be dealing with the type of twisted individual on a twisted level that's consumed by his lust, that's always thinking about sex with other men. Well, you know, he'll be plotting, trying to have sex with you, trying to get leverage over you so he can accomplish that. Get you to the point where you're completely dependent on them. Then they'll start making ultimatums. You know, now you have, you know, you need to do this if you want us to continue to support you financially. See, this is the type of schemes and you know that they engage in, and these are the types of practices that they're presently engaged in. No support of them. You can't promote the behaviors. Be separate from them. People are supporting this Black Lives Matter movement. That's another thing. These individuals are engaging. You know, they're an arm of the homosexual establishment. You know, promoting homosexuality, bisexuality, lesbian, transgenderism. You know, they've started out as a fledgling organization. Now they're a multi-million-dollar organization, I've heard. You know, bringing in hundreds of millions of dollars annually. You know, but they sold their souls. You know, they are the epitome of individuals who are justifying the wicked for reward. And in so doing, they are strengthening the hands of the evildoers, causing these wicked individuals to go stronger and more powerful and more influential, which God is not going to tolerate. He's going to eventually destroy it. And the fact that you supported it, you're going to be held accountable for it when you face God in the judgment, and you're going to be destroyed in this coming destruction. Now, I don't take any pleasure in delivering these messages. Neither do I desire to see anybody lose their physical and spiritual lives. But it's my responsibility to warn you in hopes that you'll depart from the perversions and the wicked behaviors so you won't be destroyed. That's my responsibility. But it goes on to say, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In other words, God is saying don't have any fellowship with them, but rather expose the individuals. Separate yourself from them. Find out what they're doing, all their evil acts. This is what I encourage you to do, other groups and organizations. Find out what they're doing and expose every evil, filthy behavior that they're engaged in. And they're engaged in it. It's just not broadcast by the liberal media, who is in full support of them. Watch them, observe them, spy on them if necessary, and expose all their evil. This is how you bring these wicked organizations down. And don't support them financially or any other way. But if you support them financially, promote the behavior, you're going to be destroyed with them. And all you're doing is strengthen the hands of the evildoers. And God says that's an abomination to them. And it goes on to say, but all things that are reproved by are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Whatever exposes evil is light. Love is light and light is love. That's what God says, judge. I was actually on that topic, I do believe, and I got to talking so much and I lost track. But that's why God encourages us to judge, but only in righteousness. The purpose of judging is to expose this evil before it proliferates and it grows completely out of control. And that's why Satan has distorted the concept of judging. You know, he said that it's wrong. He'll take verses in scripture like, you know, that he's adept at, and he uses false ministers to do that. False unlearned ministers who take the verse and not look into it thoroughly. They'll look at it and say, it says here, thou shalt not judge, but they don't emphasize the context in which it is saying not to judge. It's a context that's being emphasized when it says not to judge. And that context is when you're filthy and corrupt yourself. That's why the Bible says, you know, first get the beam out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to get the mote out of your brother's eye. You know, Christ tells us in John 7:24 to judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. God tells us in Isaiah 61:8 that he loves judgment. Christ tells us in Matthew 23 that the weightier matters of the law, when he was condemning the Pharisees and the scribes, because they didn't adhere to the weightier matters of the law, which included love, faith, and judgment. Judgment is included in the category with faith and love, and you know those are extremely important. Love and faith, and he included judgment in that category. That's how important judgment is, because it exposes evil before it proliferates. That is the purpose of it. Not to necessarily judge a person, you know, because they've done wrong and you're consistently holding that over their heads, especially if they've been repentant about it. So now I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I want to change. You know, you don't hold that over their heads. You try to work to help them improve themselves. But when you talk about homosexuality, for instance, which they're promoting as good, beneficial, and wholesome, you definitely, it is our responsibility as servants of God to expose this evil for what it is, because this is what they're doing. They're saying that the evil is good. You don't find that to be the case with murderers, thieves, nobody else. This abominable evil, they're now saying is good. And there's no greater deception than self-deception for you to lie to your own self. And these individuals live lies. You don't think they're capable of lying and they live a lie? Of course they're capable of lying. They lie like no other group on earth. But it's not necessarily the focus is not necessarily an attack against them. I'm just speaking the truth. And the reason I'm going in against them so hard is because, like I said, they're promoting this behavior as good when it's abominably evil. It's becoming widespread all over the world. And this is going to incur the full wrath of God on all nations. If you don't begin to find some courage and some character and do the right thing about these perversions, nowhere in God's word does he justify it, because it is pure evil, and it is. These individuals are sick and they need help, not to be supported and embraced. Now, if they turn from the wickedness, help them. But if they're intent on promoting that false narrative that it's okay and it's beneficial, reject them and be separate from them. Let them work out their own issues, you know. They'll have to answer to God for it, you know. Pray that they overcome and that they change and they make some changes and see the error of their ways and make some positive changes to separate themselves from that destructive, corrupting behavior. But you have to be separate from them. God has emphasized that throughout the Bible, as you see clearly here. Now let's continue to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 through 9. It says, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." And it goes on to say in verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." So, you know, God is not, you know, like 1,000 years is like one day to God. So, you know, God is operating on a different timetable. So that's why these things have not happened yet. But it's coming, rest assured. You know, but like then it goes on to say, God, don't be fooled. God is not slack concerning his promises, because people are saying, like, he made a promise, he ain't keeping his promise. But God just tells us he's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. This is why he hasn't acted yet, because he's holding out and hopes that these misled, misguided, sick individuals would change their behavior so he won't have to destroy them. This is why he's holding out. You know, but when you have false ministers in the land promoting the filthy behavior, and these individuals thinking they're justified in engaging in the behavior because they put faith in these false lying ministers, and they think that they are, in fact, representatives of God when they're false representatives of Satan, to be quite frank about it. The Bible tells us that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. It's no small wonder if his ministers be transformed into ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So these are the types of individuals who have the attention of the masses. And they're telling the people that it's okay to engage in this behavior, that it's love to embrace it, that it's not consistent with God's word at all. The false ministers, God condemns and the false ministers and said this is going to come on their heads and it's going to come on your heads for following these lying false ministers. You know, common sense should tell you that a penis shouldn't be going in another man's anus. It's full of infectious fecal matter. You know, and your penis is a man's most prized possession. You know, would you, if a person, and let me prove that, if a person came to you and said, listen there, you have a couple of choices. We can take all your wealth, and you can keep your testicles and your penis, or we can cut off your penis, and you can keep all your wealth. What choice are you going to make? You know what choice you're going to make. So that, you know, that your manhood, your penis is your most prized possession. You would insert it in a man's anus that's full of bacteria, infectious fecal matter. And these individuals would smear it on your testicles, knowing that it's full of bacteria and it's infectious and it stinks and, you know, produces disease. Where is the love in that? What does that have to do with love? Nothing. It's a filthy act engaged that individuals engage in who are consumed by perverted lust. Period. That's what it is. Now let's continue to Revelation 18, 2 through 8. And it states here, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you. Double unto her double, according to her works. And the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. Okay, so once again, God is emphasizing, be separate from them. Come out from among them so you won't share in her plagues and her punishments. Now, that's an end-time verse in relation to the European Union, which is also referred to as the abomination of desolation in Daniel. And in Revelation, if I'm not mistaken. And it is also like the Bible says, it's going to come to, it's eventually, it's going to form into a 10-nation super state, come to its zenith of power and prominence, and it's going to be engaged in all types of sick, twisted practices, debauchery, Satan worship, initiating wars with other countries, conquering other nations. Because of that, God is going to punish them severely, but it also applies to any nation that is engaging in abominable practices, the United States or any other nation, and it's applying to the United States in these end times. God is telling us as individuals to be separate from these wicked, debased individuals so we won't be destroyed with them. Don't do business with them. Don't partner with them. Start your own businesses. I would encourage those in the black community. A number of individuals in the black community doing very well financially. You know, and I would encourage you to separate yourselves from these individuals. Don't do business with them. Don't support them. Don't promote them. If you want to prosper as a race, be separate from them. Be mindful of what God instructs you to do, and you'll take the lead as the dominant race. God is punishing white America because they're embracing these sins. He's about to strip them of all their power, and there's nothing they'll be able to do to stop it, because they embrace these perversions. But if you embrace the perversions also, begin to partner with these individuals, do business with them, support their twisted behavior, God is going to, your elevation to a level of power and prominence will be short-lived. Make no mistake about that. Now let's continue to Matthew chapter 10, verse 35 through 36. That's Matthew chapter 10, verse 35 through 36. For it states, I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Now, what Christ is emphasizing, and he's not saying that he's intentionally coming to, you know, encourage us to be hostile towards our loved ones. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that when you commit to his way of life and decide that you're going to follow him in a wicked society, that is going to produce problems with the, you know, members of your own household, obviously. So that's what he's saying. When you fully commit to God's way, and especially when you're in a society that's promoting all this evil and this perversion, that can be problematic in some instances. And, you know, as you begin to continue to promote this evil and these perversions, it will be, you know, obviously become even more problematic in certain cases. But it goes on to say, and let's continue by going to Matthew 10, 37 through 38. Matthew 10, 37 through 38, and he goes on to say, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And so what Christ is emphasizing here is that if you love father, mother, daughter, son more than him, you're not worthy of him. And now, why does he make a proclamation like that? Because God knows what's best. God will never lead you astray. He will always have your best interest in mind. You know, you can't say that with your loved ones, to be quite frank. You know, a number of people have some major sibling rivalry, you know, brothers, you know, warring against brothers, sister against sister, and sister against brother, father against son, you know. You know, that type of love don't even exist in the family structure in many respects. God's love is on a whole different level. He'll never lead you astray. But in many cases, you may be led astray by your own loved ones. You may just be despised by your own loved ones, you know, for no apparent reason. I mean, this is happening across the world in families, you know, throughout the world. But God will never lead you astray. Christ will never lead you astray. And he'll never give you information that is going to harm you. Never. And they always have your best interest in mind, and they know much more than you know. They see much deeper. They're much more than telling God and Christ, even the angels. They're more intelligent than all every mind. You can take every mind in the human race and put it together, and it pales in comparison to God's knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. His intelligence is nothing. It's like a drop in the bucket. This is how God, intelligent God is, and how wise he is. He knows what's best. So he says, and what he's going to give you, the rewards that he's going to give you, you know, is mind-boggling. So, you know, if you can't put him before, you know, your mother, your father, your sons, your daughters, who even they are not guaranteed to love you, you know, but God will always love you, you know, especially if you're doing what he says do. He'll love you even in your wickedness, you know, in hopes that you'll come out of your wickedness. But he definitely loves you while you're living righteously, you know. Your family members will hate you for living righteously. When you get to the point where you're following Christ fully, in many instances, they will hate you. You know, feel like something's wrong with you, you know, because you're doing the right thing. You know, who does this guy think he is, you know? All of a sudden, you think you're better than everybody else, you know? That's the mindset that they adopt, because you're trying to do the right thing. You think you're better than everybody now, you know? You know, Mr. Goody Two-Shoes, you know? It's crazy, you know, because you want to do the right thing, you know? And that's, you know, that is evident and prevalent in many families throughout the world. Well, not so with God. God is never going to condemn you for doing good, for working to improve yourself. He's going to be patting you on the back. Good job. Keep going, you know, and keep doing it, because at the end of this, I have a blessings for you that's going to blow your mind, and they're going to last for all eternity, and you're going to be thanking God for all eternity. Thank you, God. He's going to be like, listen, now, you already told me. I get son. I, you know, and I know you thank me. You know, I appreciate it. Every day, God, I love you. Thank you. Because of the blessings he's going to heap on you, and this is going to last for all eternity, and it's only going to get better and better and better and better. It's always improving, getting better, more glorious, more blessings. You know, that's what God has in store for you: eternal life, no sickness, no death, limitless power, the mind of God himself, the creative ability of God himself, the love of God, the compassion, the long-suffering, the temperance, all these things, just like a father. When a father, your father give birth to a child, and mother and father give birth to the child, the child comes out with the father's and the mother's characteristics. Might have the father's nose, eyes, lips, mother's head and jawline and, stuff like that, hair. But they come out with the characteristics of their parents. The same thing applies when you, when you're born of the Spirit. When you're born of God, you're going to have God's characteristics. His mind, his creative ability, his love, his power. All that's going to be transferred to you. It's no different than when a parents give, when a woman gives birth to the child, and the child comes out with the father's and the mother's characteristics. No different. Now let's continue. But as you see here, the theme that's being emphasized throughout the audio and throughout the Bible is that God says, separate yourselves from these abominable groups. Be separate from them so you won't be destroyed with them. Because make no mistake about this, they're going to get progressively worse. They're not getting better. They're going to take this to the hilt, Sex with children, that's what they're trying to promote. Eventually, sex with animals. It happened anciently. It's going to eventually happen again. They're going to be kicking down all barriers, I wonder how, but it's twisted, but that's where they're going with this. Make no mistake about it. It happened anciently, and it's going to happen in these end times. And as opposed to sacrificing your sons to Molech on a physical level, you're going to be sacrificing your sons and daughters to Molech on a spiritual level. And Molech is a representation of Satan. So what you're doing now, you're just sacrificing your sons and daughters to Molech on a spiritual level, which is even much worse than a physical sacrifice. Because in this particular case, you're ensuring that they're going to be destroyed spiritually. Make no mistake about that. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 28:15 through 68. Now these are the punishments that are coming for the rebellion. But it goes on to say, but it shall come to pass that if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thou be the basket of thy store, and cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. You forsake God by engaging in all these filthy, wicked practices. You say, you have a mindset that we don't want to do nothing that God says. We want to do everything that we want to do. Perverse sexual behavior abounds. With man having sex with man, lusting after other men, it's pathetic and sick, just nasty. And, now they're working aggressively to promote pedophilia, to get that legalized. But they're just provoking. They're going to get met with something that is going to just, you think the coronavirus was something. Keep going down that path, and I'm telling you, you're going to be faced with some issues and problems that are going to have you pulling your hair out and in complete fear. Trust me when I tell you this. But let's continue. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. This is end time prophecy, and it applies to Israel anciently as well. It applies to Israel anciently, and it's also an end time prophecy. The Lord shall smite thee with consumption, with a fever, and with an inflammation, with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. He's talking about diseases and the sword, pestilence and the sword. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, no rain, and earth that is under thee shall be iron. They say that this is global warming, but these particular events that are taking place with the extreme droughts is something that God prophesied centuries ago. No meteorologist or government-funded climate scientist can take credit for this. You know, but they want you to believe that it's climate change, because they know if you believe it's climate change, you won't depart from the evil behavior that's provoking God to do and bring these things about. You know, God controls the weather by giving his angels charge to manipulate the weather. You know, and angels can manipulate the weather to cause hot and heat domes to sit stubbornly over areas of the nation. You know, he can cause them to manipulate the weather to cause heavy rains to fall, to cause flooding, to control the winds to produce tornadic activity and hurricane activity. You know, God, you know, is instrumental in all these things, and it has to do with your sins, but they'll try to tell you that it's, you know, it's global warming and climate change. Remember, they first started out with global warming. They said the fact that the globe was warming was the reason it was happening. Now, after you had all these cold snaps, you know, abundance of rainfall, and people was like, how can it be global warming when you have, you know, major blizzards and things of that nature taking place? So they changed it to climate change, you know, to cover their behinds and, you know, to cover a broader spectrum of rubbish, you know, that they're putting out there. You know, God is controlling this weather and manipulating this weather, and he's doing it to destroy in many cases because of your abominable sins. Let's continue as it states, and thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron, and the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. It's not funny to me, but it's crazy. You know, God said you're going to go out one way and then flee seven ways before them. You're going to go out one way against the enemy, but you're going to end up being chased in seven different directions, you know, straight being punked out completely. Basically what that is, to put that in layman terms for you, you know, and it's not funny, but it's just the truth. And this is what's coming if you don't change your behavior and to fall in line with what God defines as proper moral behavior. You're going to have all types of problems. I promise you that. And it says, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth, and thy carcass shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Thou shalt go grope at noonday, and as the blind gropeth in darkness, thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Thou shalt be openly oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and thou shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. And thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face. Let me emphasize that that's not talking about hairy anus. You know, homosexuals are sure to take that verse and twist it to justify perverted homosexual behavior. You know, so they'll look at that and say, oh my goodness, right there, you know, there's proof. He says that the ass, you know, they try to make that seem like it's talking about a hairy buttocks and anus, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about oxen and donkeys in many cases. But it goes on to say, thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies. Thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thy eyes shall look and fail, longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. In other words, you're going to be mad driven to insanity and angered, but you're going to be driven to insanity as well. So this covering two points. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, upon unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. There shalt thou serve other gods and wood and stone, and thou shalt become an astonishment and a proverb and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shall gather but little in, for the locusts shall consume it, or, you know, bugs and that you know, eat the vegetation, consume the vegetation. You see that in the case of the boar beetle. I think it's in California. They devour the trees from the inside, and they, you know, when they're finished with it, the tree is so dead and dry that it's like kindling for wildfires. It's worthless. So that's symbolic of stuff like that. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine, nor gather the grapes, nor the worms, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coasts, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine oil shall cast its fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. You see that happening right now. Many disenfranchised and underserved communities are now coming to power and prominence, and it has to do primarily because of the sins of the nation. God is going to strip the power from you and give it to them. And make no mistake about it, if they get the power and they continue, and if they support what you supported as a nation, the legalization of homosexual, lesbian marriage, pedophilia, transgenderism, bisexuality, lesbianism, the promotion of sorcery and things of that nature, if they come to power and they do the same things that you did, they're going to be stripped of power as well. So they'll be, you know, the fact that they come to power, it'll be short-lived if they follow your sick practices as a nation and all the sick things that you've promoted and supported and legalized. I would be mindful of that. These other communities and races, if God blesses you in this respect, I would be mindful that and explain to you that the only way that you're going to maintain that power is if you do what God says and you reject these abominations, which include the legalization of homosexual and lesbian marriage, transgenderism, pedophilia, bisexuality, lesbianism, the promotion of sorcery and black magic, mass murder in the form of abortion in urban neighborhoods and communities, as well as pockets of racism throughout the country. So I would encourage you to avoid these things so you won't be stripped of that power when God gives it to you, because God is, like he says, you're going to get high above of them, and you're going to lend to them, and they're going to borrow from you. The way to maintain it is to reject and don't partner with this ungodly evil, these abominable evil perverse groups. That's the way you maintain it. If not, you're going to be destroyed along with them. You're going to be, you're going to lose, position, being elevated to that position of prominence and power is going to be short lived if you follow their same sick practices. But it goes on to say, and all thy trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. And the stranger that is within, that's symbolic of not just locusts, but other types of bugs that can consume crops and things of that nature. Ladybugs do that as well, if I'm not mistaken. You can have ladybug swarms, and they can do some serious damage as well, if I'm not mistaken. Insects that devour vegetation. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of thy Lord, of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until ye have been destroyed. In other words, he's going to put, you're going to be cursed with hard labor, extremely difficult circumstances is what that means when he says, putting a yoke of iron upon your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. Now, who the heck is that talking about? Now, if you know anything about the Third Reich, you know that they were some ruthless individuals, and they really had no respect for human life. They would just as easily destroy young, vibrant individual, you know, or old individual, or even infants, as they would destroy a young, vibrant, fit individual. So, you know, they had no respect for life, and they, you know, they didn't have any discretion in terms of who they put to death. You know, they would destroy the infants, the old man, and the Bible said that that is coming. Again, a fierce countenance, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor favor, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land when they occupy the land, is what he's talking about, until they'll be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, and unto thy high and fenced cities come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. He shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee. In other words, you're going to resort to cannibalism to stay alive. But it goes on to say, so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. In other words, he's going to strike out on his own because, you know, it would be futile to stay, because things are going to be so difficult. He feels that he can survive better by striking out on his own. He's going to leave his family because there's no way he's going to be able to take care of them. But it goes on to say, and so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. In other words, he's going to be consuming the flesh of his children. You know, again, he's going to be reduced to cannibalism because of the you know, severe famine that's going to be in the land. It goes on to say, and the tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet. Or in other words, the infants that she gives birth to, she's going to be eating the children that she gives birth to, you know, because the famine is going to be so severe. You know, it sounds graphic, but that's the truth. And it goes on to say, and toward her children, which she shall bear, that's talking about childbirth, for she shall eat them for want of all things, secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. And also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until they'll be destroyed. So he's going to bring the diseases of Egypt upon you. And also, he's going to bring upon you diseases that are not written in the Bible. So, you know, coronavirus is certainly one of those diseases that's not mentioned in God's word. And other diseases that are not mentioned in the Bible are going to be coming upon you. And he goes on to say, and ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. It shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. Excuse me. And you shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. Thou shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even unto the other. There shalt thou serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing eyes and sorrow of mind because of all the oppression, the persecution, the sufferings that you're going to be going through. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even, and at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning, for the fear of thine heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. The Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, and by the way whereof I have spoken unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. In other words, as it states here in this particular verse 68, and the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, that's symbolic of bringing you into a foreign country or foreign land. And by the way whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again, and there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Now, it's emphasizing that nobody's going to buy you. Now, this, I've heard people say, well, this is in relation to slavery in the black community. But that can't be the case, because, again, it's emphasizing here that nobody's going to buy you in these slave situations. And you know that when blacks were enslaved, they were sold. You know, people bought them all the time, bought them to tend to their crops. But in this particular instance, it's saying that you're going to be bond men and bond women, but no man is going to buy you. No other nations are going to buy you, because they're going to despise you that much, you know. You know, they don't even want you to be servants in their homes. Because to do that, you know, that ensures that you have a better life, a better lifestyle. They don't despise you so much that they won't want to bless you by hiring you as a bond woman or bond man, because they know that that is going to improve your lot in life. They're going to despise you so much that they're going to, you know, their attitude is like, we're not going to buy them because that's going to help them. If we buy them and bring them into our home as servants, you know, it's going to be much better than the situation that they're in now. So, you know, that's how bad it's going to be. But as you see how the Bible and God commands us throughout his word to be separate from these individuals, and not to support them, not to embrace them, not to promote them, not to partner with them in any way. You know, we don't hate them or harm them. Just be separate from them, you know. And I'm not encouraging anyone do any harm to these individuals or anything like that, you know. There's no justification for that. Just don't harm them. But in many instances, they bring that stuff, these problems upon themselves because of what they do. They engage in all types of practices of harassing individuals, slandering individuals, picking at individuals, you know, working to get individuals, draw individuals into that perverted lifestyle, because they're so consumed by perverted lust, you know, they just can't think straight and help themselves. But they bring a lot of this up on themselves. But I'm not encouraging anybody to necessarily harm these individuals. But if they work to harm you, or they try to harm you, I mean, that's on you, you know. But I'm not saying encourage. This is not about encouraging any harm to them per se. But as you see, God emphasizes and instructs us to be separate from these types of individuals and any abominable practices that offend God, and to unify under a righteous banner where we're doing what God wants us to do, so that we can be a blessed nation, a prosperous nation, as opposed to being cursed with all types of plagues that include diseases, famine, war. The alternative to that is to do what God says, unify under a righteous banner, where we reject all these perversions, all this corrupt, abominable behavior, do what God says, and watch how he prospers you and blesses you. But if you go the other route, you follow Satan with the promotion of these perversions, accepting of and embracing it, practicing it, you're going to face the full, unbridled wrath of Almighty God. Don't believe me. You know, we've gone over the consequences of the behavior as well, and that's just a few of the consequences. You know, many other verses where God goes into detail what he's going to do to individuals on a physical and spiritual level who engage in these abominable practices. But don't believe me, believe the word of God. Do not believe me, believe the word of God as it confirms, justifies, and supports itself. My name is Donald Bohannon. Thanks for listening.